Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we finish our study in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, titled, I Can Do All Things Through Christ.
Here's a little
this
summary
is part
of
2 this of 2.
Biblical wisdom from Pastor Greg. And it's based on the scriptural model. If you attend a local church, then any honest Christian will help to pay the bills and fund the local church ministry. If you come here and you're using electricity, you're using the restrooms, you're using the coffee and coffee cups or tea, or, you know, and a lot of the food is given by other people, but, you know, sometimes the church provides for food or snacks or whatever, then if you're just an honest person, you'll want to contribute. We watched this week, Brother Dan, I forgot to bring it. Dan here? He gave me a movie. It was a double feature, but we watched one night. And that was Old Yeller.
Oh, I like
it. See? And she didn't like it because he dies in the end. Oh, I hope. Spoiler alert. And then there was another one called Savage Sam. And Dan, I watched your movies, but I forgot to bring them back. But there was this one character on there. What was his name again? Was it Sears or... You remember that he would, oh, is that beans I smell you fixing in there in the kitchen? Oh, well, you know, it is just about supper time. Oh, you wouldn't want to share that with me, you know, before I leave here. You know, he would just invite himself right in. And he would eat, and then he would leave. And he'd go from house to house, and that's how he got his dinner. And he wouldn't work, and any time they asked him to help, he'd sit. Call his daughter Elizabeth. Say, Elizabeth, go out there and help them, you know, bring in the corn or whatever. Mm-hmm. He never would lift a finger. And that, everybody, I don't know if there's anybody watched that movie doesn't think, what a freeloading bum.
Yeah.
Well, that's what every Christian is who goes to a local church and doesn't support the local church. You're that guy. Come on.
Amen.
All the amens disappeared on me. Close the windows. You're getting out. If you're able, you should give to other ministries once you've given a minimum tithe to the local church.
Amen.
Now you say, well, I can't afford a tithe. Well, you're going to take it up with the Lord because, you know, he's not providing the way he should. Or you could be a better steward.
Amen.
Now, you know, I've just thrown some ideas out there, but do you really have to go out to eat as often as you do? Do you really have to have cable TV? Do you really have to this and have to that? You just do the budget and you look at it and say, well, I could. But then I'd have to give up this or that. And that's where we started. Well, then you can take that up with Jesus at the judgment seat that he wasn't worth it. If you do not have a local church, then find worthy ministries to give a minimum tithe to. Or don't and look like a fool at the judgment seat of Christ. And, you know, I don't want anybody I know to stand there at the judge's seat and look at me and say, well, why didn't you bring this up? And all those times I sat under you preaching and teaching. Done. I brought it up. And now it's between you and the Lord. And I know a lot of Christians will continue to go on being that guy in Old Yeller. And they'll keep making excuses. They'll keep being a bad steward. They'll keep not doing what they ought to do. And that's between you and the Lord. But I've said what needs to be said. But I do want to read one other place over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now give me a minute to find. I left my Bible at home, and I'm using one that I have stashed here. 1 Timothy 6, beginning of verse 1. I don't know if I'll read all 19, but 1 through 19 is really the whole context. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Now, none of you here are enslaved, so you can take the principle. They say that you should honor those who you work for. Verse 2, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now, you know, if you should honor your master as a slave, as a Christian, then you obviously ought to honor the guy who pays your check, the guy you work for. In verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Now this, watch this. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. See, you got to be careful of this. Some people think that if they start to get more stuff and more money, that that is necessarily God's blessing.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Amen.
And there have been guys who God just kind of let go, and they made all the mammon they could, and it wasn't God blessing them. You got to be careful with that stuff. Look at verse 6. Here's what you ought to be thinking as you look at money issues and that sort of thing. But godliness with contentment is great gain. If you can have, Doug mentioned this earlier, if things can be good and you can praise the Lord, but then when they get bad, you suddenly can't, then your praise to begin with was empty. And being content when things aren't real good, I'm not saying it's easy, because the flesh always wants to take you into that, you know, poor me, boo-hoo mood. But that's the way it ought to be. Verse 7, I love this. This is something that sounds like my mom would have said to me. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And I brought you into this world, and if I have to, I'll take you out. But ain't that the truth? You came into this world nothing but a naked baby. And you know what? That's the way you're going to go out. There aren't any U-Hauls behind a hearse. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. If you can be content with that, then you'll be happy. You'll be a giver. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. People who gotta have it, can't be good stewards, can't give up that mammon in their pocket that they worship. They'll end up, well, first of all, they lose reward. It says that they erred from the faith. They lose reward right there because they are bad stewards and they don't give the way they ought to give because they're tightwads. And tightwads to the Lord, not to themselves. And it says, pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Why? God will let you suffer the consequences of your choices. If you choose not to give to the Lord, He'll let you suffer the consequences. Why? Because He's a good father. I mean, when I was raising the girls and the last few years before the boys are out of high school, Jenny and I, as parents, we look at these kids, and if they weren't doing their chores, we didn't reward them. And they haven't done the chores yet, they don't go to the Y. Amen? You want that thing? You haven't lived up to your responsibility. And if I give you that thing, I'm a bad parent. And God, He's the perfect parent. So I'll guarantee you, If you're hurting right now, you're suffering right now, go look in the mirror and ask yourself, is the Father withholding or just not blessing me right now because I've been nothing but a bad steward and a unruly child and a tightwad and a lazy good for nothing? Okay, I'll stop. But thou, O man of God, verse 11, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
You believe that, you're going to act differently. Yes. You believe that this life isn't going to mean so much to you. Getting things isn't going to mean so much to you. Being a good steward and letting go of some of that mammon so you can support the ministry, you'll do it. Mm-hmm. And if you won't, you're a liar if you tell me you believe what we just read. Amen, amen, amen. Paul's message is consistent, and his life was one of selfless living. So we go back to what Paul said there in Philippians. Chapter 4. And Paul says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now I admit, I'm at my best when I'm full. It becomes a struggle. What do they call that? Being hangry. I get hungry. I get hangry. But it can be just not just about food. All of us, I think, have a tendency when we're not getting what we want when we want it, we can get a little childish. Paul has learned to make do even when his ministry is lacking support. Why? I just believe Paul did what I've had to do on a number of occasions. Say, Lord, you know we'd do this, we'd do that, we'd get this done, but we don't have the means, and I'll just wait for the means. Amen. Yeah. And that's all you can do. And it's not that God's not providing. Because if God has put on so-and-so's heart and so-and-so's heart and they refused, God had provided, but the tightwads had withheld. It's as simple as if I'm hungry and you know it, and you go over to the restaurant, you know, Chick-fil-A, you go to Chick-fil-A and you get yourself a meal and you have enough money for an extra sandwich or something, and you just decide, nah.
Wouldn't hurt Charlie to skip a meal once in a while.
It's actually more true about me than anyone else, but you know someone's hungry and you know you can provide and you don't. Now, most of us would say that's not right. It's not right under any circumstance. When you know what to do and you know what's right, you won't do it. It is in this context that Paul then says, read verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Isn't that something? That's the context. Paul is saying that even when greedy, stingy believers leave him without, he can go on. When he says, I can do all things, he's talking about going on, persevering, even when the greedy, stingy believers leave him without. That's what it says. Now, is anybody here going to tell me I made that up? You followed us verse by verse through this whole thing. That's the context. Amen. It's not a promise to enable you to become a superhero. I can do all things through Christ. Dun, 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 dun. I'm going to climb up top of Trump Tower, and I am going to... Look at this. And when I jump, I believe I can fly. Splat. Yeah, there is... That is an extreme, but that is an example of the necessity of context. If you got that verse up on your wall, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and you think that it has something to do with you being able to fly, or maybe breathe underwater. I can do all things. I can do all things. That'll send you to heaven. It's not a promise to enable you to break world records in sports. Now, there's nothing wrong with a guy who's getting ready to run a marathon saying, you know, I'm just praying the Lord gives me strength. And if he wins the marathon, he can credit the Lord with giving him strength. But it's not a promise that he's going to win. It's just that he'll be given the strength to run the marathon. And you guys will say it's about, you know, climbing mountains, and then they go up and they get up there and then they die at the top of the mountain. Well, that kind of makes Jesus look bad. When the guy did an interview before he heads up the mountain, he says, I can do all things through Christ. I'm going to do this. He gets to the top and he croaks. Well, what's the answer? Hopefully the reporter's a Christian. He says, well, he kind of took that out of context. That's not really what that verse is meaning. It's not a promise to make you a millionaire or a billionaire. Listen, I worked for a guy who is into this positive thing, and you know, he can just basically envision it and confess it, and he'll do it. And we'd get together, and they'd hold hands and pray before we started work. And he never did pray in Jesus' name. I was kind of glad about that. But he would pray, and he would say, now, Lord, you have said we can do all things. And you have told us... And he would quote partial Bible verses like that through the whole prayer. And the whole point was he believed he was going to be a millionaire, billionaire, and he was going to credit this generic God with having giving him the ability to do forth, so on, what have you. You can think of other examples of that. But of course it is true that this applies across the board when people or life leaves you empty. And that's what Paul's talking about here. People or life can leave you empty. And you can go on. If you can be content with what you have, you can go on. And you can still have joy. You can still have peace. Isaiah gives this promise, and it's given to the children of Israel, but this is a promise that, in other ways, in other words, is repeated throughout Scripture to believers. He hath given... He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And I don't know what happened there. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I believe that's true for all of us. I'll ask Jenny to come. You can turn in your hymn book to 378. And the catch is, just Jenny, Martha. The catch is, this isn't about your giving, it's about your heart. Your giving is something that is a reflection of your heart. You remember in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. God gets your heart you'll give your best.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Amen.
Look up here. You see that?
Yep.
God gets your heart. You'll give your best.
Amen.
We want to close. We're going to have communion. Jesus is represented in this bread. He paid for all your sins. You see the burn marks there? If you are saved, you will not suffer the second death. You will not go to hell. The Bible says he was pierced. You see the holes there, pierced. Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And that represents his body being broken on the cross. That was for your sin and mine. I'm going to ask Jenny to sing a song. And Stephen, you and Charlie, if you could come and help me. We'll pass out the bread.
If I knew all things and explained to you the mysteries you face, if I gave away all I had with faith,
for me and Jenny,
the mountain, laid my body down,
good,
to be burned for my faith. Things I say, things I do, unless there's love inside, a worthless.
Believers in the gospel should partake. The broken body and the shed blood of Jesus is for those who are believers. Having repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and they rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. you are saved. And now partaking doesn't have anything to do with your salvation except that in response, Jesus said to do this in remembrance of Him. And it's not a big pomp and ceremony. He simply took the bread and broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." He then took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of my New Testament shed for the remission of sin. Take and drink ye all of it." That was the Last Supper before Jesus went to this place you see on the screen, a place called Golgotha, Mount Calvary. The place of the skull. Do you see the skull? And on top of that hill is where Jesus died to pay for your sins. And He paid them in full. And we should be forever thankful. Our hearts should be completely given to Him. Romans 12, 1-2, He talks about how that it's really our reasonable service. In our bodies as a living sacrifice. Let's sing number 378 in the hymn book. You can stand.
Stand up.
Father, we thank You for this time together and just pray, Lord, that those hearing this message will receive it, and all of us, Lord, will always be ready to hear Your word, readiness of mind, humility, and submission of spirit. And now I ask, Lord, You bless each one, not only this day, but as we go through the week. Bless our efforts, Lord, as we seek to live in a way that is pleasing in Your sight, preach the gospel to every creature, always looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.